Here's what's coming up on today's show.
The thing people overlook the most is just being able to have that confidence to spend guilt-free because they know they're following their plan.
When it comes to your finances, you don't want to be at a disadvantage. Tim Dyer can help. He's a wealth manager specializing in retirement planning and investment management, and he could be that financial coach that helps you achieve your goals in retirement. This is Retirement Power Play.
Welcome into the Retirement Power Play podcast. I'm Ben George with Tim Dyer, wealth manager specializing in retirement and planning and investment management as well. Got a good show for you today as we focus all on retirement income and understanding what those sources are, how do you arrange that income plan to make sure that your cash flow is positive in retirement so that you don't run out of money. So should be a good show today, Tim. Welcome in. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. But I'd be remiss if I didn't check in with you. You know, speaking of income, it looks like you're going to have to put aside a little bit more, right? You've got a new addition to the family. How's that going?
I do. A new baby boy. Emmett was born end of June, so he's doing well. Mom's doing well, which is the most important thing. But yes, it's going to take a little bit more planning now, financially and just from a sanity standpoint to make it through. But you know what that's like. It's definitely an adjustment going from one to two, for sure.
Yep. It's a blessing. Congrats from all of us here for sure.
I appreciate that.
So let's dig in. Let's talk about money.
Yeah. So we, you know, it's important.
Income.
Income is a key to retirement, right? You got to know where that money's coming from. You got to make sure you have enough to cover what you're trying to do and what kind of lifestyle you want to live. So you got to get this piece of the puzzle right, especially when you're trying to get your cash flow in order. So let's kind of discuss this and dive into it a little bit deeper, Tim. And I just want to start just with kind of the basic question of, you know, why is it so important? Why have this discussion? Why do we need to know where our income's coming from in order to have this financial stability that we want to have?
Well, the thing about income, and my friend Tom Hagna used to say this, you know, the people that have predictable income are one thing. And, you know, he asks the crowd every time he speaks, and they say, well, what's that? They're happy, right? People that have known income sources, whether, again, it's from predictable sources, which we'll dig into more, or more variable sources, it's part of our, you know, inert nature that says we need protection. We need to know, you know, we're going to be okay. Our, you know, the number one concern we see with retirees is, or leading up to retirement, is am I going to outlive my money, or is my money going to outlive me? Right. And so I think it's really imperative to just kind of, you know, bring this thought home, is to understand where, you know, exactly what your income is going to look like. And there's ways to model that from a planning perspective. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. It doesn't have to be a scary process. But looking at your different income sources and really determining, okay, what is this going to look like? It's going to unlock a lot of the concerns that people have around income and retirement because they've got some clarity. And we'll kind of, you know, we can kind of talk about those things in different steps here on the show.
Well, is that what's the biggest concern then, or what's the biggest thing that could go wrong? Is it just running out of money if you don't have a clear picture for your income?
Well, I think that's the fear people have, right? If I don't know where this money is coming from, where am I taking it from, which accounts, when, how long will it last? You know, there's other variables in there. We don't know when we're going to die. Yeah. We don't know investment rates of returns. You know, some of those things can lead to the confusion. But I'll say this, Ben. One of the other concerns that comes next, or issues, if you will, is people don't spend their money, right? They hold on to it because they don't have the confidence that they're not going to run out of it. And that's not just from, I have so much money, I can never run out of it. Heck, I see some of the wealthiest people in America, and they're just as concerned about running out of money. I guess they're sort of, you know, spending it in a different frame than the rest of us here. But the point is that when you have clarity around your income, then you also have confidence in your spending, and you can do so guilt-free. And that's an important component of it that I think people don't think of initially, but then they say, hey, you know, I can take that, you know, the grandkids to Disneyland, where I can take that vacation overseas instead of maybe just a weekend getaway. Those things are planned, and more importantly, they're funded, right?
Yeah, not having to worry about that is so important. You want to enjoy vacation. That's the whole point of it, or the travel, or whatever it is that you want to spend your money on. You want to be able to enjoy that and not be worrying about it. So let's dig in then to some of those income sources you might find. I mean, obviously think about Social Security right off the top and, you know, mm-hmm. pensions if people have them, but there are a lot of different sources for income, right?
Yeah, I kind of think of it like two different levels. If you kind of took a piece of paper and you made a T, you know, ledger, on the left you put what I would call guaranteed income sources. Now, we need to be careful about using that term in this business, but what we're talking about specifically is income that is not tied to the market, for example. And those are things like pensions, Social Security. In some cases, that could be annuity payments that you're getting from your company, or maybe a policy that you have. And then on the other side of the ledger, you have things like dividends, required minimum distributions from retirement accounts or inherited retirement accounts. We call those RMDs. Those are varying based on what the market does. Just your regular investment accounts, part-time work could fall into that. So if you think of it and you think of what your monthly expenditures are, you know, to the basic necessities of life, right? You need food and shelter and, you know, those types of things. You want to have as much of that covered with those, as I call them, guaranteed income sources. Now, in some cases, we need to create more of that type of income, whether that's through Social Security planning or, you know, setting up other forms of predictable income. But you really want to make sure that those core expenses are covered. And then for the other spending, which we might call play checks or, you know, lifestyle, you know, that can have a little bit more flexibility. We still want to have and experience the things that we want to do. But if, for example, markets were down, maybe the vacation gets pushed back 6 months instead of completely eliminated, right? So looking at it as sort of two different silos allows people to cover those, you know, minimum basic expenses with a high level of predictability, and it allows them, you know, to still have that flexibility for the other side of things, the lifestyle side of things, through other sources that might provide bigger opportunities, but they have a little bit more variability.
Well, it sounds like, you know, you try to have a diversity of sources. Is that your strategy, or do you try to rely heavily on maybe one or two of those sources and then supplement them with some others, but really focus on a couple?
No, I think diversifying the sources is key. Now, in some cases, that's easier than in others. For example, some people that have worked at certain companies that offer defined benefit plans, you know, think of those as traditional pensions. You know, they might be getting more predictable income through a source like that, whereas somebody that maybe worked at a tech company or tech startup had something like a 401k, which doesn't have as much predictability in and of itself. Now, we can create that predictability of income, but I think getting back to your original point, you know, looking at the sources that are available and then determining, you know, if we need to add any more tools to the, you know, or clubs to the golf bag, if you will, is a determination that we can make, or if we can make do with the, you know, existing plan or sources that are available now. You know, diversification is always the key, right? That's always going to be an answer.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure there are some cases, though, if somebody's got a really good pension or, you know, they saved a lot in their IRAs, or maybe they got a big Social Security payment coming that they can rely on just a couple sources then, right? And not have to worry as much with the other supplemental stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think I'd look at some things. Let's look at this from another way. Let's say you have a 401k and you are still working, for example. Now, that 401k has got a menu of choices that are available. Let's call it, you know, 20 mutual funds or something that's available from that company plan. So what we might do is, since we have a sort of known quantity or a fixed menu of expenses there, or not expenses, investment options there, we'll say, okay, how can we maximize that maybe we're using that for income specifically, income investments. Well, then let's take and use the growth investments in this other account, you know, to supplement that, right? So we can look at what's available and then, you know, build around that. I think that's, you know, that's one way to look at it. The other way that we can think about income is making decisions. We talk about opportunity cost a lot, right? You might be sitting in cash. We know that cash and money market rates have gotten more attractive. I think you can get 4 or 5% as we record this on money markets. But the alternative might be, well, what if we buy a rental property, right? Depending on where you are in the country, that may or may not be affordable. But maybe a rental property can produce 6, 7, 8% type of income, cash on cash. So we might create an additional income stream just looking at one source and possibly improving it.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. We're talking about retirement income and how we structure those plans, how Tim works with his clients to make that to work for them in retirement. And we've talked a little bit about guaranteed and non-guaranteed sources as well. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about then this concept of you're going to figure out in retirement, what are your needs? What do you have to have? Mm-hmm. What's essential to cover every month versus what are some of those things that, you know, don't necessarily have to happen? They're more wants than anything else. How do you kind of balance your different sources of income to make sure, obviously, that you're taking care of those needs first, but then also kind of arrange it so the income can also spill into those things that people want to have?
Yeah. I think if you think of it along the terms of needs, want, wishes, and you stack them up, right, in a little sandwich, okay, if you can figure out, or we calculate what those are, but let's just start with the whole enchilada, if you will, right, or that whole sandwich, as we call it. We put them together, and let's say, okay, what is that? Is that $5,000 a month? Is it $50,000 a month? You know, whatever that might be. And then we say, okay, do we have the resources, you know, to hit those goals? And if we don't, are there things that we can do or changes that you can make to improve that situation or increase the probability of success? Or do we just need to manage those expectations, right? Maybe say, okay, some of those wishes we'll put on, you know, the list over here that if we can save up for them or hit certain milestones financially, then, you know, you can use those. So there's always a two sides of that equation. People come to me sometimes, they say, hey, here's what I have. What can I spend or live off? Mm-hmm. All right. That's one way to look at it. The other is, hey, this is what I need to live off. How do we make it work with this? Right. So it's just a string that you can pull kind of in either direction. I think one thing I'd add, though, to the sort of guaranteed versus non-guaranteed income sources is, you know, when we look at the two of them, if we think of it kind of like risk reward, right? If you have something that's guaranteed, maybe money markets or a CD or something, well, what are you giving up, right? You're typically giving up maybe growth or a higher rate of return. Conversely, if we are taking more risk, however we define that, typically by volatility or risk of principal, we're ultimately getting compensated with a higher reward, right? That whole risk-reward balance. And the point I want to make around that is a lot of times when we get to retirement, we use this sort of standard age of 65 as a starting point, but you know, we still have a lot of runway left, right? There's decades of life left. And if you were 65, what would you tell your 45-year-old self about, you know, the risks? A lot of times they say, gee, I wish I'd put all my money in the stock market.
Yeah.
Now at 65, we, you know, that usually isn't the best option. But what I'm saying is that a portion of that money really does have a longer time frame. And it can, when we understand how markets work and they go through cycles, you know, it can potentially compound at higher rates using the markets than, say, cash or money markets or something like that. So we don't take our ball and go home the second we stop getting paychecks from a company, right? We still need our money to work. We still need money to be available for our short-term needs. But we also have money that we need to be available for those long-term goals. And that money may be served in something that has a favorable risk-reward profile over that time frame. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to take everything and put it into guaranteed. But in some cases, you know, that's what clients' risk tolerance aligns with. So we need to be mindful of that as well. So there is a bit that goes into this, as you can see.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking as you're going through that. As a wealth manager, this is kind of what you do day to day, right? Is finding these different options and determining what strategies are applicable for somebody now. What are some things you might need to change? What else is out there that you might not have thought about already? There seems to be a lot that goes into it. It's not just about, hey, let me just turn on Social Security and hey, that pension's going to crank out every month and should be good to go. There's a whole lot more that goes into this.
Yeah, and things like inflation and taxes. All have a big part of it as well. So a lot of times when I meet with people, sometimes they'll come to me, the engineers like to come to me with the spreadsheet. And they say, you know, I'm getting this much from dividends from this investment. I think my Social Security is going to be this, and I have a rental property that pays this. And, you know, just using an example, and that adds up to kind of what we need. So then the rest, you know, is sort of gravy. I said, well, you know, that's fine, but let's figure out of this additional part of the portfolio, let's make it work for us. So let's, you know, earmark some of these funds for some of the things that you want to accomplish. More along the lines of that, it isn't, there are a lot of things that go into this calculation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we kind of close out the conversation on income, and again, you can tell it's such an important part of the cash flow equation, but just in order to have the success that you want to have and that confidence and security that you want to feel in retirement, this is a big part of putting all that together. Is there anything else kind of you want to close this out with, Tim? Anything else to kind of leave people with as it relates to retirement income?
No, I mean, I it's funny. We probably could have simplified this at the beginning by just thinking about, you know, the term we call them, you've got paychecks and you've got playchecks. So mm-hmm. When your employment, you stop getting paychecks from the company, all right, well, how do we replace that, right? What are we replacing it with? And we typically want that to come from high probability sources, right? Earlier in the episode, we talked about guaranteed sources. But you also need to make a plan for the playchecks. Right? How you know, we don't work all our life just so we can kind of sit around and live the basic lifestyle, right? So we need to plan, you know, for those playchecks as well. You put those two together, Ben, and when people really start to understand, you know, kind of where their budget is, where their lifestyle is, you know, how things are going to work out, they really get that clarity. And again, the thing people overlook the most is just being able to have that confidence to spend guilt-free because they know they're following their plan. It really, you know, it's hard to put that in a brochure or a soundbite, but that's that, you know, really key element that people walk away with after we've kind of gone through some of the numbers and things like that, is, hey, this really aligns with my values, my objectives, my goals, and, you know, legacy, those types of things. And it revolves around that plan and having clarity around that financial income.
Yeah, you can't really quantify that confidence to spend, can you? That's just something that comes along with doing this.
Yeah, we're not wired for it. We're trained to, you know, save, put money in our 401ks all our whole life. Now when it comes time to spend it, we go from, man, we've been building up this mountain, this nest egg, and now we got to go the other way. And that's not easy. It's unnerving.
It absolutely is, for sure. All right. Well, if you have questions about income planning, this is an important part or something that kind of struck you today that you want to follow up with Tim on, the best thing to do is give him a call at 858-459-3937. Or you can log on dyerwm.com. And you can find all of our episodes of our podcast online at retirementpowerplaypodcast.com. All right. We'll close it out, Tim. Always great to talk with you, catch up, and appreciate your insight today on income. We'll do it again soon.
All right, Ben. We'll talk to you later.
The commentary on this podcast reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, DBA Dyer Wealth Management employees making such comment and should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by Dyer Wealth Management or performance returns of any Dyer Wealth Management Investments client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. The opinions expressed in this podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referred for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Dyer Wealth Management provides advisory services through Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Dyer Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Dyer Wealth Management unless a client service agreement is in place.